This is the Fear Fiction Podcast, and this month, our white boys are going to discover a deeper appreciation for their editor and intern, Elias, when they discover he's missing. Can three godless heathens discover the true meaning of Mormon Kwanzaa in order to locate their special little man? Or will they be too late? Kick it to the cold open, Eliasless bastards.
Hi, welcome to the SCP Foundation. I'm Dr. How can I help you cishet white gentlemen today?
All right, lady, give it up. Where's Elias?
Whoa, sorry about that. It's been a long drift and he's a little cranky.
Wow. Okay, first, lower your voice. Second, you're standing a little too close and I'm feeling a little more keter than safe right now.
Let's start over. We're looking for our intern, Elias. He's a Mormon boy between 4 and 6 feet tall. Kind of skinny in a chubby sort of way. Blondish, brownish, blackish red hair, good editing skills.
Too good. Supernatural, even.
That's why we think you're holding him. His editing abilities are, for lack of a better term, anomalous.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're kind of busy decorating for Secretary's Day, and I have to work on my SCP-173 cosplay outfit in a few minutes. So, why don't I just give you a single-use keycard, and you can look for your little Elliot friend yourself.
Elias. His name is Elias. What happened to the quality standards around here?
That's fine. We'll take the card.
1 hour later.
And what's behind this door?
Let's see, it's a copy of Undertale.
Specifically, the copy of Undertale MatPat gave to the Pope.
Anyone who looks at it cringes.
I don't think that's anomalous. How about this door?
Steven Universe, okay.
What?
This SCP is literally just Steven Universe, the cartoon character. I guess he's real, or...
I'm getting the feeling this is a waste of time. Nothing here is really special anymore. It's all just pop culture references and self-insert OC.
This SCP is a 20-year-old virgin who's super smart and funny, but dies when exposed to direct sunlight.
You see?
All right, this was a mistake. Elias obviously isn't here. He's not cringy enough. He's never read Homestuck. He's not allowed to watch Adventure Time because talking dogs are satanic, and he doesn't own a single manga.
We're looking in the wrong place. But I have a better idea.
All right, gang. All aboard the Fear Fiction cable car. I don't know how much TV you guys watched back in 2007, 2008, or maybe even 2009.
About when I was, 4 hours a night.
Yeah. Well, you may or may not have seen a ad series from the California Tourism Board back when Arnold Schwarzenegger was still the governor.
Yeah.
The ad campaign was, "When do you start?" And it was just the most vanilla, uninspiring thing of just random people going sitting on a cliff overlooking the ocean. I don't even remember what they said about the state. It's completely unmemorable, but it does end with Arnold Schwarzenegger going, "When do you start?" And that's all everyone ever remembered of it. So good job, tourism board.
So people are sitting like on a cliff overlooking a big valley, they're looking at the sunrise, and they say something, but it's completely forgettable.
Something like, "I'm a teacher," and thinking of as,
"I'm a teacher."
Underpaid. You are not presenting an accurate representation of the state. And its
economy. No. They live there. They live in the state park.
They keep cutting the different faces of Californians, and they're all screaming.
Oh, God.
One of them's on fire.
Somebody out there write a creepypasta, write a Fear Fiction story about that.
The lost episode. The lost commercial.
It's a real, real specific niche.
Arnold Schwarzenegger appeared on screen, but this was long after he was out of office. He looked haggard and frightened. "Come here, please," he said.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was on screen, but it wasn't the Arnold Schwarzenegger we were used to. Instead, he was dressed up in nothing but mud, like in The Predator.
Oh, God.
"Sacramento has really gone downhill.
I know you can't see me, but you have to listen," he said.
Speaking of advertisements, have you seen the new Bengay ads?
No.
Man, they've redesigned the shit out of Bengay ads. They're like black and red, and they're all serious looking, and it's a, like the slogan is "New look, same Bengay."
Okay.
And it says like ultra strength down at the bottom, and it's like radiating heat. It looks like a box of condoms.
Hmm. See, what I thought you were going to say was, in 2019, current year, I thought they were going to say, other companies like to pretend that they're woke, but we've been gay the whole time.
Yes, exactly. New look, still gay.
Yeah, there you go. New look, still gay. We should sell that on t-shirts.
Well, it can't be any less confusing than the Gillette ad. So.
Oh, we're going there, are we?
We're dropping that one.
We're broaching that topic.
Nah, I don't fucking care.
Oh man.
Gillette, our products will slice clean through your testicles. Just take them right off. Take them right off, boys.
Well, then at least it would have been an ad about razors, which it wasn't. And here's the funny thing, it wasn't intended to be. It was just about their new charity initiative.
Hey, what if...
But everyone was like, there's no razors as a commercial. It's not really a commercial.
What if the guy sees a beautiful woman on the street and he goes to follow her, but he takes out a razor and some guy stops him and says, not cool, not cool. He's like, aw.
And yeah, that would probably not be cool at that point. Hey, baby. Shink! Check out my razor.
See, I don't shave my testicles. That's why I subscribe to Dollar Wax Box.
Dollar Wax Box.
It's just waxing materials sent fresh to your door, hot wax that you pour on your balls and get, you know, nice smooth balls.
See, that may be good enough for you, but I have so much hair on my body, I have to get the Wax Box 1, you know, the next step up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. By the way, speaking of being woke, you know, colleges, universities, scholarships. Hey.
Hey.
The Scholarship Asylum Series by Matt Demersky, a.k.a. Gar.
We need Elias. Oh, right.
Yeah, shit.
I guess I'll make a little jingle to play whenever we segue so people know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put it in here. Yes, so we are on part 3 of the Asylum series by Matt Demersky, also known as Gar. And, well, let's jump into it.
No.
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 Okay.
Use it.
I've warmed on the idea.
After reading several files of patients here, I'm starting to become a little concerned. I have this notion that there's some sort of pattern here, but I can't quite define it yet, I'm especially concerned about the last male patient's claim that he is being shocked or mistreated.
Hmm.
We do not do shock therapy here. I don't know why this person is seeing a pattern.
Yeah.
He's starting to realize that he works for the APC, Asylum People Coercion. I don't know.
Asylum Clown Posse.
Clown Posse.
Wait a minute. This isn't a hospital.
That would be interesting. An asylum specifically for insane clowns.
Well, it's like I'm reading all of these documents and I'm starting to define something disturbing. It seems that everyone in this insane asylum is insane.
Wow.
Damn.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
crazy.
Know what pattern. Maybe he'll go into it in deeper detail later, but I definitely don't really see one other than the people of the entries we read past episode. Both of the patients are like, I'm not crazy. This is just what happened to me, which I can't imagine is a pattern at most asylums. I bet a lot of people think that.
I really am starting to wonder if this is an asylum for people who, as I've said previously, I think people who think that they have superhuman abilities.
Maybe. It has yet to be disproven.
Like the hit blockbuster Glass, which is just blowing up theaters.
Is that tank yet?
Or... Oh, yeah, that tanked.
Yeah. I did not see it.
Please, no mention.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
Shock therapy would actually be a possible treatment for severe unresponsive depression, which is exactly what he has, but we don't do that here.
Well, somebody does.
Hey.
While reading through files last night, one girl's transcript leapt out at me. I tried to fight it off. I set it on fire, but it kept coming. No. One girl's transcript leapt out at me. I know it's strongly part of the pattern I'm sensing, but I still can't quite put it together.
Okay.
Huh. It's part of the pattern, and strongly.
Weird, clunky phrasing is not what I expect from the person who wrote Psychosis.
Same.
I know it's strongly part of the pattern I'm sensing. Okay. The sound, that sound, can I have some of that?
The coffee. Come on, it's just coffee. Give it to me.
Damn.
Give me the coffee, Daddy.
Put some coffee in my cream. Wait, that's not how that goes.
Pour some coffee on me.
We need tort reform.
What?
Because that woman sued McDonald's for pouring a hot coffee.
All right. Give it to me. All right, I'll tell you, but this better not be a trick. You promise? So somebody's offering coffee in return for information. Where do you want me to start?
Okay. It was class, honestly. Okay. Yeah, class. I think it's ridiculous that someone like me could have gone to college. Expletive?
What could
Why
be
would
an
they censor that in a transcript? What do they fucking care?
Redacted. What could be expletive question mark?
I think it's ridiculous that someone like me could have gone to college. Shit. Fuck. That's kind of weird. Do you think there'd be another word to, like, quantify?
Maybe they don't think the doctor is listening, and so it's like a slur.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it might be a slur.
Maybe, yeah.
It's actually how I ended up like this. I bet you're wondering how I ended up like this.
How did I end up like this? Yeah.
Well, the coffee lid wasn't on correctly, and...
That's right. For some reason, McDonald's thought it was good to serve molten coffee.
That's the new Overwatch skin. Just have Torbjorn dressed up like a McDonald's employee, and his molten core ability is shooting out coffee.
It automatically targets Anna. Did you guys hear why they lost that case, really? Why McDonald's lost the case where they burned that woman?
I used to know, but I forgot. I haven't studied that case.
They burned the shit out of her.
Well, one of the key things was that the defense launched a narrative that because the woman was elderly, she didn't have much value left to her years.
Ooh.
And so the jury and the judge didn't appreciate that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh.
Should have just settled out. I think they did settle out. No, no, it went.
No,
yeah.
No,
what
got
am I talking
decided.
About? Man.
And it was nearly $2 million, but then it was eventually reduced a little bit.
Yeah. My family's not rich. Bet that doesn't surprise you. We're not illegals, though. Just new to the country and not well off. I was the first one in my family to get into a good college. My older sister screwed around in high school, but I worked myself half to death. I figured once I get in, it's all set. I can relax.
All right. So we, by the term we're not illegals, we can deduce that our person talking is from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And the expletive was hoser.
Goddamn frostbacks.
God.
Maple syrup drinking freaks.
Ice skating into our country every winter.
Right. Need to build a wall.
We need to build a big goalie net across the Great Lakes. Yeah. Then I actually got there. Do you know they're keeping children in penalty boxes at the border?
Oh boy!
Then
I actually got there. Everyone around me seemed so immature, so stupid. They partied all the time.
I partied all the time. Partied all the time.
They never studied, never did their homework, nothing. Half of them didn't even show up to class. The football players, the hockey players, they didn't even take the exams. I couldn't understand it. Did they have any idea how much college cost? I still don't know.
You're getting confused, because this is in America, but they came from Canada.
Yeah.
So why would they be hockey players here in America? They're football players.
I want You're to play just... hockey in America.
You're getting all confused. My parents called me about 3 months in. I was taking over the maximum amount of classes because we only had enough money for 3 years between the family and the scholarship I'd earned.
Huh.
I'd had to graduate in 3 years. That was the plan.
Is that... is that factual that you would, you know, not having not gone to college very much, we only had the money for 3 years, so I had to take as many classes as possible. Aren't you paying more, taking more classes?
Depends on the structure of the college you're at.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't know if this is for profit. We don't know if this is.
It's a thing that happens.
Assume that the structure is honeycomb shaped. Okay. Do we know now?
Sweet.
No, it definitely happens though. I've known people who have done that, and it's been more cost effective for them.
Yeah.
I also know people who were super seniors.
Super senior.
Because you can just pay. Some places just say, okay, you're paying this much per semester, and you can take as many or as few classes as you want. It's kind of up to you. So, yeah, you could just pay for 3 semesters and then work yourself, like they say, half to death.
Hmm. Where I went, the professor didn't show up, so.
a bit backwards. Just like that.
One of the students, a Vietnam veteran, decided to sue the school after that class because the teacher was never there.
Yeah.
He was like, fuck it, man, I'm suing the school. And then he did.
They told me my
grand... He got $2 million off of it.
Yeah.
He poured hot coffee on himself and was like, all right, this is your fault. They told me that my grand was sick. She had a bunch of hot coffee poured all over her. The family was just going to spend the money on her healthcare. Oh, I feel bad for saying that. The family was going to spend the money on her health care. I said, fine, that's great. I love Gran.
Huh.
I imagine that as, that's fine, great. I love Gran. Hmm. She doesn't definitely need to go to college, but I do.
It sounds so dystopian. I love Gran. We all love Gran. You will love Gran, too.
I was in denial for a little there, I thought. I was in denial for a little there. I thought, maybe I'll just get some scholarships. Maybe I can make this work. Student loans, maybe. Yeah, you could just do student loans.
Shouldn't the that thought be, of all I'll get that, more? I'll get more scholarships?
Yeah. I'll just, well, yeah, technically, yeah. Some uh-huh. more scholarships, yeah. The thought of all that debt terrified me. I would never, ever work off the amounts they were talking about. My parents always said we didn't come here just to live destitute all over again.
Now
that's nice, but welcome to student debt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you're having this much trouble, maybe take like a year or two working and try to come back to college later.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's a common thing though, is people are always like, I'm in now. I have to get in now and I have to get it all done.
Yeah, I don't think that that's a problem with the story. I think that's a problem with the character and our society and college being way overpriced and, oh my God, crippling debt.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A month or so out from the end of the first semester of that first semester, I got an email about a scholarship that was considering me. I thought all my problems were solved. It was a full ride.
Ooh.
But the alt-right decided to... Oh, no. But the deadline... But the deadline for an essay submission was the next day. Ouch. No problem, I figured. I had a test in 4 classes with large amounts of homework, but I could do it. This was important. Yeesh.
I got a full ride to a college, and now I realize that they were taking me for a full ride.
Aw, damn.
So I drank some coffee and stayed up late, fell asleep about 5 in the morning, and the next day I was tired and uncomfortable, and I did a little worse on the test than I wanted, but I got it all done. I don't know why I decided to... You can tell that I'm running on caffeine and nothing else when I get all sing-songy like that.
What you need is you need to cut the caffeine with a little bit of booze.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit of Coke.
Yeah, just a little bit of Coke.
A little bit of Coke to pick you up. Yeah. A little bit of Coke.
All right.
I got an email response to my submission that night. They liked my essay. I was so happy until I read that I was just in the next pool. The next level required an in-depth analysis of an industry. 30 pages.
Woof.
And it was due in a few days. Had everyone else known about all this for months? Had the other candidates had all the time in the world to finish the work?
I don't know, because if it was due at a certain point, it's probably due at that point for everybody, meaning everybody would then have just a couple days to write the 30 pages.
Yeah.
Since it was on my mind, I chose the student loan industry. That was probably a mistake. All I learned was how screwed I would be if I didn't get the scholarship. $100,000 or more for 3 or 4 years, and no rights. No bankruptcy. No protections. No rights. they could just drive up and kidnap you.
Yep. You know? Yep.
It was all worse than the loan shark deal, and from my neighborhood, I knew how bad loan sharks could be. Da-dun.
Da-dun. Just like the hockey team called the Toronto Loan Sharks.
Oh, this is a nice rink. Shame if something were to happen to it.
I hit the coffee hard. A neighbor in the dorms gave me some pills, but I didn't feel good about it and left them in my backpack.
Uh-oh.
I got maybe 3 hours of sleep a night for the next few days, struggling to get through all my classes, homework, and tests, and then also do this huge paper. I knew my classwork was suffering, but a few days wouldn't ruin my grades. The scholarship was important.
Huh. I was okay. At my limits. Oh, sorry.
I should say, at this point, I'm a lot more, maybe it's because student loan debt is an issue near and dear to my heart, but maybe, I think this one is resonating with me a lot more than the other two were.
Hmm. Well, we haven't gotten to our supernatural twist yet.
True. That too.
True.
This one's kind of like holding off on that.
But
it is taking its time.
But then, a ship pulled up to my bedroom window, and it was full of scholars. This isn't what I meant, I shouted. No.
Ha ha.
Yeah.
I was at my limit when I submitted that damn 30-page paper, burnt out, exhausted, and fried on a week of caffeine and no sleep. I slept terribly that night, but was still a breeze through my pain body.
Go ahead.
No sleep.
Yeah.
Come on.
They said the title. I awoke to an email congratulating me on being... I sent in my report, and I never even read it. Anyway, I woke to an email congratulating me on being one of 5 candidates remaining in the nation. Shit, everybody else got expelled. I didn't understand. Had they reviewed all of the 30 pages overnight? Or had everyone else failed to get it done on time? Maybe that was it. Maybe they only got 5 papers because nobody else had the time. Reasonable if it's that short a fucking time period.
Yeah.
Huh, yeah, that is pretty cool, though. That's a neat little thing of, like... How do they even do that? You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's just slightly disconcerting, but at the same time, it's like, I guess I survived the round, so I don't have any reason to complain.
I mean, Oh, go ahead.
Well, it's like whenever something's going well for you in one of these kind of stories, your narrator's less likely to question what's going on.
Right. My presumption would be... There's no way they had time to read all of that, so they're just arbitrarily picking people. It's like a fake contest, you know? Everybody write the best story, and we'll pick the best one, and then they just pull an entry out of the hat, say, he won, you know?
Well, this is definitely, like, it's... the reader obviously knows that something's wrong, and this is not what it seems to be. Right. But I do think that this story has done a good job of making it understandable that the protag is desperate and not at their full mental faculties because they're like just they're stressed and they're worried and they don't have adequate sleep. So I just wanted to point out that the pacing on this is pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just waiting for that shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Whose turn is it?
You.
Yes, you.
They wanted a graduate level thesis in 2 weeks. I spent the entire day stunned. I couldn't even comprehend the level of work required for a full ride scholarship, and it was getting into finals time. I think I almost broke down crying until I realized that I didn't have a friend in the graduate program.
Or did you?
I did have a friend in the graduate program.
This would actually be a really good scam if you were in college. You set up a fake mm-hmm. thing and get people to write your stuff for you. All right.
She agreed to meet with me. Oh, wait, did I skip something?
No.
No, okay. She agreed to meet with me and helped me hash out exactly what I needed to do. She'd been working on hers for a year. She expressed some skepticism about the scholarship competition I was engaged in, but she said, better go for it. You don't want to end up like me. I've got so many loans, I'll never be out of debt. Now, yeah, she would know. She'd be like, no one's going to ask a non-senior to do thesis-level stuff. That kind of defeats the purpose of getting a full ride. Unless it's specifically a scholarship or a grant or something for a PhD program, maybe you'd have to demonstrate your ability to at least work towards a thesis level paper. But that would be such a blatant red flag. I don't think that her friend would be like, hey, nah, it's probably fine.
See, now this loses me a little bit in terms of realism, because she's not saying, I have so many loans that I'm going to spend my college years doing nothing but Twitch live streams. You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. I thought I had it. Oh.
Woof. You're right, buddy?
The joke is just evaporating.
Something titty streamer.
Something titty streamer. I don't know.
Something thought audit. I struggled to maintain my composure in response to that. What? So if I fail to write a thesis in 2 weeks, I'll end up with huge debt for the rest of my life? No. The pills in my backpack started to make some sense. Oh, it's going to be the pills.
Pills here. Everybody, you remember Left 4 Dead?
Hey!
Gamers in the audience?
Because Lewis said pills here.
Hey, any of our gamers out there ever play Left 4 Dead or Left 4 Dead 2?
Man, I still maintain that the competitive Left 4 Dead 2 scene is the funniest and most entertaining e-sport in existence.
I was playing the survival mode just to try to brush up on it after we tried it that time.
Yeah,
and this guy, we're going through the survival mode, and I'm doing all the shit you need to do, and this one guy is, like, off random, you know, in random corners dying and shit like that, and singles me out, of course, to say, you know, Tormental not doing anything to help, because I'm not coming to get him and pick him up constantly. So I was like, eh, fuck you, you know, whatever. So he proceeds to kill me throughout the rest of it, so I leave the server, comes to the next server, proceeds to kill me, go to the next server, he shows up again, kills me. And all the time he keeps changing his name to, like, random keystrokes, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, every time he shows up, I'm like, you're the dude with random keystrokes as your name. I know what's coming next. I know who you are. I know what you're doing. It's not hiding your identity to just keep changing your name to Gflugglugga, you know?
What an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to Left 4 Dead now. That's what it is.
Yeah, it seems really, really great and hilarious.
Everyone is just like, man, this is the most toxic game. This is the most toxic game, you know, whatever their game du jour that they want to get mad at is, whether it's like Destiny or Overwatch or whatever, League of Legends. No, it's Left 4 Dead 2. Guys, it's Left 4 Dead 2. It is the most toxic game on the internet.
You know that drawing game Scriblio or whatever the fuck?
Yeah.
It's just a drawing game. It's Pictionary, basically. I went on that last night, and somebody starts drawing, and another person immediately guesses Abraham Lincoln, because they've drawn, like, the basic left side of a top hat, okay? Mm-hmm. So I remarked in the chat, I said, wow, you know, you must play this a lot, you know, because I was kind of, like, dumbfounded, you know? And so the guy says, yeah, that's the go-to jealousy answer, faggot. And I was
wow.
Like, I said, you're jealous of what?
Wow.
Every game is toxic. Scriblio. By the way, Elias blank. Oh fuck.
Yeah, that's
uh oh.
Shit.
That's okay.
I'll have to eat that one.
You didn't say that. The guy who was guessing Abraham Lincoln did.
Yeah,
Lincoln said it.
I at the time I was drawing my word, which was a bundle of sticks, so he was guessing. That was his guess in chat.
You guys don't remember that part of the Gettysburg Address 47 years ago? Those Confederates. Real just a bunch of jealous beeps.
Oh, secession. That's the go-to jealous answer.
You're so jealous of the South. So Oz, duh.
More like the green coats. Anyway.
They made it easy, actually. I went to class, studied for the finals, and worked on my thesis. I did it all. Everything except sleep.
Boom, boom, boom.
Between the pills and the coffee, I felt horrible, but I was awake, and working 24 hours a day was that... And working 24 hours a day was all that mattered. I had to get that scholarship. I had to. I thought I could actually make the deadline, but halfway there, a week in, I could feel my body starting to give out. I hadn't slept well in a week and a half. And hadn't slept at all in 6 days. Hmm. And there was still another week to go.
So that's not the song that came to my mind. I was thinking, Whoa, but halfway there. Whoa, my body gave out.
Fall asleep in this chair.
Yeah.
Fall asleep in this chair.
Write my thesis and I'll make it, I swear. Whoa, Grant is dead. I went
fall asleep in this chair, titty streaming.
God damn it.
Gonna pay my bills.
All right, 12-hour titty stream. I went to my neighbor
I used to play bass for 12-hour titty stream.
Yes, yes, please. Where do I find those?
I went to my neighbor to ask for a couple of pills. No, to ask for more pills. He was sick, sniffling, and talking to him filled me with disgust. He just seemed gross. Oh, we're getting a little hypochondriac kind of reaction here. Full of snot and spittle, and his eyes were all bulgy. Knees weak, eyes were bulgy. I took the pill. I'm picturing Eminem with hyper-realistic eyes. I took the pills and got out of there. I started doubling the dose. Then I tripled it.
Full of snot, his knees were knobby. Hyper-realistic knees.
There's an elf in his sock already. It's Dobby. What?
What? I not too long ago, like a year ago, watched the first Harry Potter film because the mood hit me and I'm like, man, I enjoyed that. That was nice. And I'm like, you know what? I want to try and watch the second one. And then like Dobby came on and I'm like, I can't deal with this movie anymore. I can't deal with this little thing. I can't possibly watch this thing anymore.
Aww.
It's the most poochy thing that has ever existed.
Aw. That's
rude. No, Scrappy-Doo. It's a very Scrappy-Doo kind of thing.
That's, yeah. Well, I mean, you have to, so you didn't watch the ending?
I literally got, like, a minute into Dobby being around, okay. And I was just like, no, I can't do this.
Well, I don't want to spoil it for you. But
someone spoiled that he dies at some point.
Yeah, but he gets like, buckshot to the face. Right, mm-hmm. like about 10 minutes after you stopped watching.
And every time that Dobby's not getting shot in the face by a 12-gauge, the audience should be asking, why isn't Dobby getting shot in the face with a 12-gauge?
Dobby must go. My planet needs me.
I reached a strange plateau of pained awareness and strained energy that kept me working on everything straight through the next week. Just desiring to see Dobby get shot in the face was the only thing that pressed me for. I knew that what I was doing was dangerous, but I had to do it. It would be worth it. I was going to win that scholarship. I knew it.
Is he trying to study graphic arts, computer-generated arts, you know, different things like that, filmmaking, just so he can make a perfect edit of that movie where Dobby gets shot in the face? That's the whole point of his entire college career.
Harry Potter in 5 minutes or less.
Hey.
Graphic design is my passion.
Cool. Sweet.
Whose turn is it?
My turn. I hit a wall the day before it was due. Staring at the massive thesis I had produced just a few pages from the end, the most critical portion, the conclusions, all escaping me. I couldn't form the words in my head. I couldn't think the things I needed to type out. I blinked a few times, trying to get my head straight. I was on my laptop in the library. I looked around in tired confusion. My dorm room, the library, and class had all become a blur, as my days without sleep melded into one another.
It was night, and the library was quiet. Beyond the breathy...
In the night, when the library's quiet... I forget the rest of the song. I forget the rest of the melody.
I don't even know what the song is.
Stand by me.
Oh, okay. In the night...
Wait, was it Stand By Me, or is it Black Hole Sun?
Oh, okay.
Oh.
In the night...
Those two come. Might have similar chord progressions, actually.
Huh. What the fuck?
Damn, I never thought about that.
What conspiracy did I just fall upon?
And the land is dark, and the moons are the only light we see.
Man, that was the original Nightmare Fuel, Black Hole Sun's music video.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Beyond the breathy exhaustion running under my every feeble movement, I suddenly felt uneasy. My own fatigued breath rasped and echoed in my head. That much I'd gotten used to. But now, alone in the library in the middle of the night, I could hear something else breathing. I carefully packed up my laptop and research books. I'm calling it now. It's his own asshole. Staying as quiet as I could. I saw nothing strange, but I had this hunch that I really needed to get out of there.
It's like when you fart so loud that you wake yourself up. This person is farting so loud that they're creeping themselves out.
Now,
could have said snore, but you went for fart.
Speaking of getting out of some place in order to fart really loud, do you mind if I go take a break for a minute? No reason, just saying.
Sure.
Okay, well, cool. The cable car has arrived, so you can go to the RCP's bathroom.
Actually, I just have to toot a lot, so maybe the cable car ride will...
Well, don't do it here. We're all confined. Just wait until we get into the RCP place and just go into their lobby bathroom and fart that up.
Yeah. I guess. I don't want to get locked up as an RPC, though. RPC, F-A-R-T, creates noxious gases that cause people to pass out within a 5-mile radius, and I'll be like...
That's Why are just... you saying this like a slam poet?
When I fill with gas, when my gastrointestinal tract becomes inflated, I start doing slam poetry. Oh my god, I am an SCP or an RPC. No! Oh man, this is the worst that could have ever happened. And to me, a reader on the internet, someone with no life, no class, no talent.
No sleep.
Spending my life saying, and now I wish I hadn't.
The idea of a slam poet going up on stage, doing that, and then just farting really hard, and then they come back to their senses. They're like, man, what am I doing at a slam poetry session?
Who the fuck are all of you?
You go up there and you're like, you know, police, out walking, stalking, jive talking, trying to look at me, but what do they see? Another black man... so what about that airline food?
you just go from a black slam poet and you fart so hard that you turn into Jerry Seinfeld. Police stalking. What's the deal with these racially profiling police?
Oh man.
Oh, the cable car's here. Let's go inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
God damn it, guys.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the RPC Foundation.
The organization that split off from the SCP Foundation because they were breaking immersion by celebrating holidays?
That's right.
So, what is that you're carrying?
Baby Jesus. For the Christmas nativity scene. Hope y'all having a blessed day.
Of course.
Okay, we're looking for our intern, Elias. Remarkable kid, supernatural editing skills, and so on.
The SCP Foundation didn't have him, so we figured you might.
All right. I suppose I can unlock the barn and let y'all in to look for your little buddy. But we do things a little different than them SCP snowflakes, you understand? We're a bit more strict about who we let in.
Meaning?
I gotta ask you some questions. Make sure you're the sort of folk we want around here.
Ask away.
All right. Question number one. Y'all queer?
How about instead of going to no sleep, we just make our own and call it amphetamine and caffeine?
Ooh, it's pretty good.
Because that's, you know, it's just like the knockoff. Because you don't get any sleep on those things, I think, from what I understand.
And would the kayfabe is every story is a weird fucking drug trip, and you have to treat it as such.
Yes.
Oh, man. First of all, I think we should call it no-doze. That's my own personal opinion. But secondly, I think, what if the rule is everybody has to try to convince the author it's not real?
Yes.
Man, come on. Here are all the inaccuracies in your story, can't you see? This never happened.
Nah, dude, I was there, I think.
All right, well.
I was dissociating pretty hard at the moment, but I still maintain that it really happened.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to this. I took the back way around the stacks, trying not to be seen. About four rows down, I heard a wet, organic smacking sound. Mm.
Right.
My eyes burning from the sheer effort of looking around, I froze. Was there something in the library with me? My ears found it then, as it schlepped itself, great word, schlepped itself down the aisle a few feet over. I peered around the corner.
It's Mr. Goldberg, schlepping around. So I think it's just a couple people having sex in the stacks.
That's what I'm hoping.
And even if it tells me it's something else, I'm going to assume it is, and he's just having a drug trip.
Mm-hmm.
A strange, fleshy mass, yes, pushed itself toward me. Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep.
It mumbled, we need a third. But yeah.
Do you have any condoms?
Staring, terrified, I tried to figure out what it was. It had all these limbs, skin all stretched and flabby, knees weak, arms... God damn it. And the whole monstrous thing pulsed with this throbbing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a disgusting, glistening sack of flesh and mm-hmm. pulsing organs, textured sickeningly, with hair poking out in random places. This is just... Yeah.
Yeah, that's a scrotum. Just described male genitalia.
It's the librarian, Enid, and the janitor having sex in the stacks. That's all it is.
Good for them.
You know, that's sometimes.
Yeah.
You get in the night.
Black hole sun, won't you come? Stand by me. Yeah, no, that fucking works. Oh, damn.
I love this mashup. It's great.
Someone do that.
That wet smacking sound. You're a musician. That wet smacking sound. The mouth, an orifice into the horrific thing. Bones sticking out from the gummy ridges inside.
Yeah.
God, I remember every moment staring at that thing. And then it turned these white, moist protrusions at me. And I, what kind of white? Are we talking Caucasian or white?
Off-white.
Eggshell.
Eggshell.
Mm.
Bone.
I knew it could see me. It made a gurgling, wheezing and sound and moved towards me quickly.
Hmm.
I bolted. Yeah, screw it. I'm a small girl, and I ran like hell.
Oh.
What would you do? I was kind of assuming that this
we
was
knew
a...
that. It said at the beginning, this is a girl patient.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even really think about that.
Yeah.
I
don't see gender, I'm sorry, even when it's written out.
I don't read gender.
I don't read the word girl or woman.
Yeah.
I just don't see those words.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, screw it. I'm a small, and I ran like hell.
I'm a small.
I'm a ran small. And small.
Oh, wait, it's an illegal Italian immigrant. I'm a small, and I ran like the hell.
Yes, cross the...
This is just Mario.
Yes.
The protag is Mario.
A Goomba just... coming at me in the library.
Just crossed over the Italian-American border.
Yeah.
Good amount of water in between, but, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
All of these places, you know, just like, you know, France, the Pacific Ocean, all these things are just the in-between border between Italy and America.
Do you think that when Italian people immigrate to America, that it's like a big water level? Bloom, 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 bloom. There's like bloopers and cheap cheeps and, you know.
Oh, boy. I'm so hungry. I could eat an Octorok. There was, what would you do? I ran like hell. There was another one in the stairwell. I almost ran straight into it. It made a weird high-pitched noise and then reached one throbbing limb out for me. The skin seemed to stretch by stringy veins, pushing something foul through its mass.
Mm-hmm.
So, people are having sex in the stairwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think that's just what's happening.
So you got the librarian and the janitor having sex in the library. You have another janitor and the stairway professor having sex in the stairway.
Or there's a professor and he's watching... the janitor and the librarian having sex. Yes. He's just like jacking it.
He's naked in the stairway.
Oh, hey, what's up? How's that thesis going?
Naked in the stairway.
Hmm. Black hole sun in the stairway.
I ran again.
Right.
I had a knife already, you know. I'm not from a great neighborhood. It was about then that I knew I might have to use it. And it was about that time I had to stab a bitch. These horrible creatures were in the library, and I had to escape at any cost. I had to finish my thesis. Knife held out. I ran down and for the front door. Another creature stood by the door, shambling and rasping. It squealed as it saw me, its middle expanding as it drew in breath, preparing for some sort of attack, no doubt. Through the glass doors outside, I could see a distant campus security uniform. Salvation. Or at least help.
Okay.
So, this is out of touch. Our narrator, our author must not be American, because you can't have a knife on an American campus. They will get pissed at you.
You can, you just gotta be careful. Gotta hide that shit.
Maybe if you don't have a bookmark, they let you use a butcher knife.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. You couldn't.
No, it isn't.
No. I mean, Brandon's point. You can't really sneak a knife into a fucking library anymore. It's just not possible.
God damn it, said Abysme. You just can't sneak a knife into a library anymore.
Oh, god damn it.
Well, I may not be illegal, but my knife is.
Yeah. I slashed the creature. Are we on board with the idea that these are just people that they're seeing this way because they're on drugs?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the common thing. It's probably not going to be that, so.
Yeah.
I slashed the creature across its expanding middle, tearing the spongy flesh open. It seemed to immediately release all sorts of acrid, quivering organs, red and brown and purple, and I couldn't help but puke. Tears streaming down my face. I'd never seen anything so disgusting.
Now, I'm going to give that vomit a pass, because they are, according to the story, sleep-deprived, probably not eating well, and their body's just, fucked up, so I'm okay with that one.
Probably just eating nothing but ramen, too.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a half pass, because still, just, there was vomit in the other stories, too,
Yeah, I didn't give those passes.
Well, you two boys, I'm here to welcome you to Vomit Pass. Now, don't look down when you're crossing.
Welcome to Vomit Pass.
Yeah.
That's what we need to have now. That's something we'll hand out in the future. You know, does the story get a vomit pass?
Yeah. It's going to be tough, but yeah.
Welcome to Puke Land. Have your vomit pass stamped. I'll just say, leaving the ruptured sack of flesh on the ground, I ran for the doors.
Thank you.
All right.
I remember that moment, screaming for help. A uniform figure came over, approaching me quickly, and it was one of them.
Yeah.
I stabbed that one too, sliced it up, and ran from my dorm room.
For some reason, I'm reminded of that Lonely Island song about the guy who throws things on the ground.
Threw it on the ground.
Yeah. I'm sick of your shit, phony, weird, throbbing flesh things. I stabbed that one too. Sliced it up and ran from my dorm room. Anyway.
You're turning. You're not doing an impression of Lonely Island. You're doing another beat poet.
Join us, DP. Join us.
Flam poet, rather.
I'm not sure what I was thinking. I was fully awake from the shock. That was for sure. I finished my thesis while covered in blood and submitted it. That's fucking metal.
Huh.
Damn.
Blood thesis.
Blood thesis. Blood thesis. The new single from Vomit Pass.
We need to stop inventing bands.
No.
They came for me maybe an hour later. I can't remember it, but apparently I was just sitting there smiling. I hadn't even tried to sleep.
Then you know the rest. And you people tell me that I had an episode, that my filters were fried, and that I was just seeing humans the way they really look. Okay, so it is the obvious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Without familiarity or recognition. And that doesn't make me feel better. I still see tissues and pulsing stringy veins and throbbing organs in a loose sack of flesh when I look at myself. You stay behind that mirror. Keep me isolated. Am I still broken? What if I never get better? Keep my family away. Keep my gran away. Oh, she's alive. I can't see them like that. God, I'm so tired. Huh. Well, if you can't learn to love yourself, you're not ready to love other people, so I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. True.
Well, you know, I'll just polish this off. Where's the coffee? You promised. I can hear you drinking it back there. Give it to me. Yeah, that's how I feel. Hashtag relatable. Want my coffee. But I feel that maybe it might be stronger if there is a lead up to people turning into giant nutsacks.
That's a good point. It kind of just happened. And the rest of it was fine. I like the escalating kind of just ruining your own body, desperately trying to get this thesis done. But it would have been nice to have little sprinklings of, I started like waking up in different locations. I was losing long tracks of time. I would blink and people would like not look the way they usually did when I was in mid-conversation with them. That would have been nice. It did kind of just happen.
Well, there's also the question of whether or not the story is maintaining options here. It's like, is this person crazy or aren't they? And that's something that the other stories are trying to maintain. And I don't know that you can do that here because they had a bunch of pills and clearly they upped the dosage mm-hmm. until they kind of hit a threshold and then they saw people as crazy nutsacks.
Yeah.
Then they continue to see people as crazy nutsacks, even, you know, in an isolated area where presumably they couldn't get a hold of the pills they were having before.
You could make the argument, and maybe the story should have said this, that they did too many pills to the point where they permanently altered their brain chemistry, and now, like, this is just how they see people. Which
maybe again, it'll explain that?
In the ending notes?
Well, I just wanted to comment that he does go see his neighbor, and his neighbor is described as really sick and gross. Probably isn't, actually. But it's not, you know, I think it would have worked.
Eyes,
yeah.
Full of spittle. Yeah, okay, good point.
It might have worked a little bit better if there was something thrown in there, like, you know, his skin seemed really pale and almost transparent.
Yeah.
Like, just a little bit extra, you know, to make you say, oh, you know, now we can definitely go back and see that was, you know, the onset.
Mm. But, well, I think I see the argument you're making, and I'm sure that that's what was intended, but I would say that you probably want to follow the rule of threes of like, you know, showing it happening three times and it just progresses. It's still just really out of left field that they all turn into giant walking nutsacks with bone protrusions, I think.
Sure.
And
Baraka nutsacks.
It's nighttime at the library. I think it said, I could be wrong. Let me just search for this. Yeah, it does say alone in the library in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's three people there, and he leaves, and there's a security guard outside. So I'm wondering where those people came from if he was alone. But maybe that's the point. I don't know.
Also not very believable. Those libraries are never empty. Like, there's always some people up. More than, like, you know, more than just one or three.
Not in our college.
Yeah, it wasn't mine.
All right. So this is Abysme now?
Yeah, we're now back to the researcher, or just the asylum employee's notes or voice here.
I'm going to read a transcript.
Transcript. Going over the poor girl's transcript, I had a vague flash of memory. This girl was a recent admission. I ran to our mailroom and checked the shredder trash. I thought I'd seen something, and it was there. Someone had sent her a letter to this address. It arrived before she did. It hadn't made any sense at the time, and I'd only randomly been the one to do the mail that day, due to a nurse's sick day.
Gratulations, the piece said.
Grats.
You're one of three remaining candidates. To qualify for this next round, please submit within 3 weeks a 4,000 page. So here's our truly supernatural thing, which is the scholarship company or whatever is mailing the asylum before they even get there, knowing that she's going to be there and still asking her for work.
And it's not like this is a scam where they're sucking money from her. So, yeah, interesting.
Here's the question. Is this all going to lead up to something?
No.
I think so.
Because it's making promises, and promises are shaky.
This is exactly why I hate the current trend of making series like Search and Rescue, for example. It is just hint at a mystery, and then by the end of it, nothing. Remember that freaky thing in part three?
I really do feel like this is Matt Demirsky writing his own SCP files.
Maybe.
And I'm not saying that's good or bad or anything. I'm just saying that that's the feeling I get.
I'm going to be cautiously optimistic and say that it is going to link together. He is going to actually have a concrete ending to this, I hope.
And then I became a patient, and now I'm writing this.
Matt Demirsky makes me optimistic. No sleep cancels that out. And then now I'm just left at neutral, and neutrally, true, I'm pessimistic.
He makes you optimirsky.
And I don't want to, you know, take this opportunity to shit on Twin Peaks as I always do, but that's the problem I have with Twin Peaks, is that it just didn't lead anywhere. It just kept making promises that it never cashed.
Eh.
Anyway.
I'll just take this next paragraph. The rest of the typed letter was shredded away, and I couldn't find the envelope or any relevant names or contact information in the pile of paper strips beneath. No matter, this was enough. Something was going on, and this was proof enough to start some kind of investigation. All right.
Interesting, the chief of medicine told me, reading the pieces. He leaned back in his large leather chair. Does this story match the story you told me?
Derp.
I think something's bigger is going on here, I said. What is it? He replied, quite serious. There's more to the story than she's crazy. Doesn't it warrant investigation?
Huh.
Yeah.
There's more to the story than she's crazy.
More to the story than she's crazy. Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm just saying that that's kind of an odd way to phrase it, but yeah.
Yeah.
She's, yeah, this isn't, yeah, just languages could be a bit more natural, I guess.
I mean, it's casual back and forth language, but yeah. If you were recounting the story, you wouldn't necessarily write it exactly as you said it, if you, like, stumbled over your words while you were talking, you know, but unless it was important and someone, you know, he corrected me and said, you know.
Sure.
But yeah.
She still sees people as monsters, still carved up a security officer and a classmate, he replies. So someone played a prank with this scholarship thing. She's still the one that didn't sleep for weeks and gave herself brain damage. Yeah, it could be a prank. I could see that.
Oh my god, it's Becky.
It is fucking Becky.
It's Becky from the first story.
Oh,
everything is Becky. The author, the narrator is Becky.
Everything is Becky.
Everything's a weird sacky flesh protrusion.
Everything is Becky. Make an incision. Sack. Oh, go ahead.
Absolute flesh sack. All that I see surrounding me.
Got to write my thesis.
Acrid nut sack.
I cannot eat. I cannot sleep. All right. So who is this now?
I'll just take this as well. Why aren't you more interested, I asked, growing a little angry. This is something. At the very least, we uncovered some sort of dangerous fraud scholarship.
That's not our job.
True.
I suddenly clued in that he was absolutely not going to help or condone further investigation in any way. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I lied gracefully. It's not your job to do this. He smiled. He liked to be right. Okay.
On my way out, he said one last thing. Now listen, I heard reports that you're engaging in some odd behavior yourself, reading files late at night, that sort of thing. Don't get too close to these patients. Don't regard their stories as anything other than fabrications of obsessed minds. Why? I asked, afraid crazy is contagious. Quite stern, he set his jaw and gave no response. My comment had been flippant. But his grim response gave me pause.
But he gave no response.
I'm now convinced that something more is going on, not just with this latest girl, but with other patients as well. And I'm starting to wonder if we have something to do with it. Update, I'm now certain we are involved in something very dark. That last sentence was not necessary. Getting a little hesitant here. Also, do we know what our narrator does at this place?
He reads files and sometimes gets the mail.
I guess, but he said I was covering for a nurse that was getting the mail. Usually you have a receptionist to get mail.
Is the narrator...
Purple guy?
Pepe de Silvia?
Yeah.
The narrator's Carol.
Yeah.
Carol! In the interest of anonymity, I will only say that I work in healthcare, which would be fine if you weren't, like, going to the chief of medicine and saying, hey, something's up. Well, I imagine the chief of medicine is very busy. Maybe you wouldn't want to bother him with this.
Is our narrator house?
Maybe.
Probably.
Crazy house.
He's just bored and he's trying to make up some shit. And it's like, what if crazy is contagious? And I'm just like, house, that's not a thing. And it's like, maybe... We need to feed our patients poison.
Now listen, boss. I saw this girl, and there's human parts in everything she eats. It's lupus. Oh, but there's this guy, and his bones come out at night. Lupus. But there's...
Bones come out at night.
But there's this other girl who sees everybody as a fleshy blob. And don't say lupus! Lupus. Ah!
So there... I don't know. There was... good parts to this entry. I liked how relatable it was. But the way it ended is kind of, again, making me hesitant.
I do not like the end result of it with the flesh blobs. I wish that it was something more intrinsically related to the fake scholarship and either knowledge or work or papers or...
Yeah.
Like, I see people as, you know, creatures covered in papers. Like, they're paper mache'd with homework, you know? Like, you know, something related to the work of it. Because at the end of it, it's sort of like... I didn't sleep for a long time, and I got this fake scholarship, and then I saw a bunch of faceless tall people in suits. You know, like, kind of like, well, it doesn't really relate. It's kind of just a, you know, thing that sometimes happens in these stories. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say this is probably the weaker of the three that we've read so far, but it's not bad, you know, if it's just because we're comparing it to the other two from the same author.
Well, it's only weaker when that ending happens. Yeah. Everything before that, I felt, I guess, was just not necessarily better, but because I feel that stories one and two were definitely, they felt different.
Imagine,
so, I don't know.
Imagine, if you will, hearing noises in the library, everything's the same up to that point. He goes to investigate, this is the thing, I think that readers often put themselves in the role, so it's like you always kind of default back to.
Yeah.
She goes to investigate what the noise is. Sees a strange figure, paper mache'd in schoolwork, moving very rigidly. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, freaks out, and then she takes out her portable hockey stick.
Takes out a letter opener. Takes out something.
You know how you have a butterfly knife?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like an expanding hockey stick.
Collapsible hockey stick.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. All right, so she takes out a letter opener because she's been opening letters from scholarship people, has a letter opener on her in her purse, fights this thing off, cuts it open, and it spills out like a pinata full of pills.
Mm.
You know, like, that to me would be, okay, you've made something related to the situation. Pills, schoolwork, you know. But instead it's like John Carpenter's The Thing comes at her, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too, is this story is... You know, from the perspective of someone who is potentially crazy.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right.
Why does it have to fall back on the trope? Yeah.
And it does feel like the whole scholarship scam is kind of just, it exists so our main narrator can go to the chief of medicine and, ooh, look, here's the developing mystery.
Right.
And it kind of cheapens everything before it. And I'm trying to view each of these entries as like their own thing. And this is the problem with this fucking literary universe thing that people do now with these stories. It's like, well, this part doesn't mean so much because I know it's just in service of the bigger story, which in theory can work, but rarely does.
I mean, guys, I have an idea. Why don't the three of us start a fake scholarship program and we'll make high demands of people and psychologically abuse them until they see people as flesh blobs and murder them? It's like, you know, it doesn't have to make sense. Yeah. It doesn't have to make sense, you know, to be horror. You don't have to tie everything together. It doesn't have to be logical. But at a certain point, you get to that point where you're like, okay, but this really begs the question or, you know, really makes you want to know why? You know, like,
yeah.
In any regard, why? Not that it has to explain it, but kind of makes you wonder.
Not to be too down on this story, but it always does frustrate me when you look down at the comment section and then it's just all glowing praise, and it's like, there are serious issues to take with this. Why is no one else seeing these?
What are you going to say on No Sleep? Oh wait, this was originally on No Sleep, but now the comments are in Creepypasta Wiki. Yeah, so that my criticism that you can't criticize it because that would mean it isn't real doesn't apply here, so never mind.
Yeah, well, but I think it carries over because, again, this is the current flavor of the year or whatever, flavor of the season, and this is what people are looking for. And I'm not insinuating that Demirsky is writing this to, you know, fit the trend. like in a shallow way, or is just trying to give people what they want. I could be wrong. Maybe he is. But I do think people flock to this, and this is just kind of instant gratification. So they're just going, oh, man, that last one was so edgy. Oh, my God. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a frustrating thing. People kind of view horror fiction as kind of like porn. Like, oh, it's just something cheap and consumable to whack at
you.
And they look at horror like, oh, it's just something to spook me and be weird. And then don't ask about the story of what is spooping you and is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I think that you can ask more of both. Ask more of your horror fiction, of your fear fic. Ask more of your pornography as well.
That's right.
Your pornography should challenge you to be a better man.
My name is Slime Beast, and I'm here to recommend lesbian MMA porn.
Dude, oh man.
It's okay. All the story you need. It's believable.
It's not plug time yet. It's not plug time yet, but we'll get there.
Okay.
Yes, but man, it is great. If people aren't familiar with this phenomenon, it's so good.
Oh, jeez. But, yeah. So any closing comments?
No, we should probably go investigate, this swampy area over here.
Yeah, I don't want to stick in the swamp too long, so let's hurry this up.
All right. Everybody, clothes off. I've got the bug spray, and I'll go over you. We'll get redressed and get going.
Do you have the anti-gator cream?
I am living anti-gator cream. They know not to cross me.
Okay.
Man, that barn stank.
Like wasted potential and regurgitated tropes.
Still, I think we're on the right track. We just hit a few roadblocks.
Is this the place?
I think so.
This is a porta potty with the name Easy John crossed out and written over with
PCP Foundation. come on. What you need? Talking crystals? Huh? Dust that spells out words. You like dust? Words? I got dust that spells out words.
Is this... this is the whole PCP Foundation?
Yep, yeah, yes, uh-huh. What you need?
Are you the entire foundation?
Oh, no. No way. Yeah, just me. Didn't like those frou-frou SCP jerks, and I got kicked out of the RPC for being kind of queer. Yeah, that's me. The PCP Foundation. So come on, you buying or what?
What do you mean by buying?
I got a bowling ball that'll suck your dick.
All right, Elias isn't here either. Let's get out of here.
Now, gang, we should check into this. This PCP Foundation could be exactly what the world of fear fiction needs right now.
Really? A tweaked-out, jittery hobo living in a portable toilet?
Sure, that's what it looks like on the surface, but since when do we take a surface-level look at creative fiction and judge it based on that alone?
You want the dick-sucking bowling ball.
I don't not want the dick-sucking bowling ball, but we have bigger fish to fry here.
Actually, I do have this. From what I understand, they're magical Jew underpants.
Wait, no. These are the Mormon temple garments.
Sure. I don't know much about the Jews. Just that they melt if you throw water on them.
Elias was here at some point.
Oh, I got them from that hooded group of people carrying a body bag down in the Tentacle Tunnel.
Where's that?
Down that there shack. I wouldn't go down there, though. These are that Slender Mansion. It's like Hot Topic and Arkham Asylum had a jacked-up baby and dropped it on its head.
Oh, no. I swore I'd never go back there. Not after the Keyboard Ant Farm incident.
Too bad. Gang, hop aboard the Fear Fiction Underground Railroad.
Oh, yeah.